All right, guys, we are on with an episode on the Helix Experience. We have a returning guest, Marcus Edwards, with us. Thanks for joining us, Marcus.
Hey, hello. It's good to be back.
I find myself slurring my words. I was like, am I losing my shit? Like, can you understand me?
Well, it's been a long... Yeah, I can understand you. It's been a long time since I've done one of these as well, so I've been thinking about that all day, preparing. Am I going to slur my words? Am I going to make sense?
Yeah, I was like, just speak concisely, Tim. Come on. Don't fuck it up for everyone. So, I guess first topic I wanted to discuss... Fuck, I just kicked the power cord. That's not going to kick out of me. Is, like, do you think training intensity is important, Marcus?
Yes. The simple answer is yes.
Yeah, why?
I think without training intensity, you plateau more easily. Like, I recall back when I first started training, and I thought I was training hard, and... you get to a certain point and you feel like you're not progressing beyond that. And the simple answer is just to increase intensity, especially that early into your lifting career as well.
What do you think, like, how do you think you maximize training intensity and training hard?
Maximizing training intensity and training hard. I don't think it's going hard every session, but not absolutely maxing out balls to the wall every session.
Yeah.
Because there's a component to, you know, recovering enough to be able to consistently do it.
But like, what do you think, like, for someone listening to this, if they're like, all right, so I want to train hard, how the fuck do I train hard? If someone doesn't even know how to train hard.
I feel like, say you've got sets and rep ranges, say you're doing 3x12 dumbbell press or something like that. I would probably, you know, get to 12, and if you're getting to 12 easily, push for 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
That's probably the easiest way to start doing it. I wouldn't necessarily jump the gun and say, oh, I'll start increasing the weight, because then, you know, you could drop from 12 reps to 8, and the volume might decrease quite a lot. But, you know, typically with those sorts of high volume accessory movements, you want to go to failure. So it's just kind of, you can increase the intensity by making sure you go to failure.
I think the issue is you don't know what intensity is until you felt it.
Yes.
Also.
Yes.
A lot of people think they're training intensely and then they actually do and they're like, holy shit. So everyone that joins the gym is like, fuck, like, this intensity is wild.
Yeah.
Compared to what they're used to. I saw a quote the other day and it said, some guy was writing and he was comparing, like, training in a functional fitness gym, like a group training gym, to like investing in an S&P 500, like, index fund.
Yeah.
He's like, you just keep putting money in and you get the result, because the intensity's there, the program's there, and the accountability's there.
Mm.
And I think, like, the only reason I can train with mad intensity is other people.
Yes.
Otherwise, like, I don't know about you, but when I train on my own, I train like dog shit compared to, like,
what I train like now with the community at the gym and everyone around me and the accountability of the coaches versus how I used to. Not that I didn't train hard, but in the, you know, small group class, functional fitness gyms.
Some.
Yeah, some. You do have that accountability from the coaches. The intensity is set.
Yeah, it's with the partners as well.
Yeah.
Like, when you train with someone else on the bar, you don't want to be the bitch.
No.
You know,
no.
And if you're the leader, you want to lead.
Yeah, and then you start pairing yourself with people that are at a similar level to you or maybe slightly stronger, and you want to keep up with them, so you increase your intensity that way. Like, if the rare occasion now that I come to a 5:30 a.m. class in the morning.
Yeah, it's hard.
And pair up with the boys or pair up with you,
mm.
and it's kind of like, yeah, we're going fucking hard today. And
yeah,
it's like,
you can't get out of it.
I'm in for it.
You cannot get out.
And like you said, you just don't want to be the bitch.
Yeah. I think, like, this is a huge problem for a lot of people. Like, yeah, they train and they work out and they train to be healthy. Like, I get it. But, like, training to get performance gains is, like, another thing. Like, it's almost a different sport. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You go to, like, 247 gym and dude's banging up a couple of bench presses, 3x10, like, fucking just pissing it in. And then, you know, a couple of leg presses, a couple of bicep curls. That ain't training for me. That's working out.
But, like, most people,
there's a fucking difference.
Yeah, most people are doing the bare minimum
mm.
to sort of get by, to kind of check that box that they've worked out, that they've trained.
Yeah.
But, you know, having done it for a few years and the environment that we're in and the environment that's cultivated at Helix as well is that drive for performance and to keep increasing performance. And to do that, it's like you have to keep stepping up. You have to keep going to... You think you're going 10 out of 10, go 11 out of 10. It's... You're continually pushing your intensity to get better.
Yeah. I agree. I actually, like, my ego, I kind of... I've got a massive ego, if you don't know, listening to this podcast. But my ego actually took a hit the other week. I was doing BJJ, the first lesson, and I got tapped out by some 60-kilo dude. And I'm 97 kilos, and this dude's 37 kilos less than me, and he tapped me out like fucking 10 times in like 6 minutes. And I was like, oh my God, there's nothing that shatters your ego like getting tapped out by a chick or some small guy. So I went to the gym the next day. I didn't even realize this was subconscious, and I was just following the program as we do, and I actually followed the program.
That's
do you know
new,
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I followed the percentages. Like,
you followed the percentages.
I stuck to the percentages. And if you don't know me, you're probably like, the fuck's this guy on about? But I am the biggest ego lifter that has ever lived. Like, there is no bigger ego lifter than me. The program will say 10 by 3 at 70%, and I'll be doing 90%. Like, maxing out my threes. And I went to the gym after that, and I was like, something changed for me where I got my ego crushed.
Yeah.
And the next day, my ego was like crushed. So I thought, man, I may as well just stick to the program and stop ego lifting. So it was a fucking good thing for me. Mm. So last week, I got through 6 sessions, hit my percentages. I felt fine at the end of the week.
Yeah, right.
Yesterday morning, I finished a set class and I was like, fuck, that's 9 sessions for the week with BJJ and I'm fine.
Yeah, well, right now, 9.
That's the first time in my life.
Yeah.
I don't feel crushed on a Saturday. And I was like, that's what you get when you follow the program, motherfucker.
All that's kind of telling me is I'm still ego lifting.
100% you are. You're like a mini me.
Pulling up. So, I mean, well, you know, I had surgery a few weeks ago, so I've been off for a few weeks, but I came back on Monday and it's kind of this catch 22 between, you know, the doctor said, yeah, you can start back with lightweights. And I'm like, well, what's light to you? And what's light to me? And then, but my body's recovered and it's had 3 weeks to recover. So I feel like I can push.
Yeah. Mentally, you're like light. Body's like heavy.
Yeah. And I feel like I can push, but it's kind of like the whole reason you shouldn't be is because it's post-surgery swelling and that sort of thing. But, you know, I thought I wasn't going that heavy, but ego and ego lifting and my legs have been in tatters all week.
Yeah. So, that's a double-edged sword there. Like, obviously, you've detrained a little bit as well on top of it. But, yes, people ask me, they're like, what was Marcus in surgery for? I said, he did too much cocaine and he blew his deviated septum.
Yeah.
So maybe you can give us your explanation. Like, what was the surgery about?
So I had a deviated septum and...
Oh, you actually did?
Yeah. I had a
not from cocaine.
No. A deviated septum and the right side of my nose, the airway was completely obstructed. So I wasn't getting any air through that at all.
Yeah.
And got out of the surgery and the surgeon came and spoke to me and he goes, oh, you must have experienced some sort of trauma when you were younger or you were born with it. And I was
different
like, okay.
Different kind of trauma.
Yeah. And I was like, what makes he say that? And he goes, well, your septum, it wasn't just deviated. It was completely severed. It was in half.
Yeah. Okay.
So there was half that was grown and half that was just not. And I was like, huh, well, that's news to me.
Mm.
And I couldn't recall, you know, I've not been in any fights or anything like that, you know, when I was younger or anything, but don't know how many soccer balls I might've taken to the face or something.
So what's the effect of it? Like, what's the negative effect on your performance if you didn't get it fixed?
I think it affected my sleep the most. So I would kind of, most people just kind of lie down, go to sleep. They'd be breathing through their nose. It's all good. They'll just nod off. I would lie down to go in bed to go to sleep and my nose would be completely blocked.
Mm.
So, and the first thing that my GP, not the surgeon, said to me was, oh, your mouth's for eating and your nose is for breathing. I said, well, no fucking shit. That's why I'm here. I want to get this sorted.
Your nose?
Yeah. I was like, I do know that you're supposed to breathe through your nose and not through your mouth, like day to day. So that was probably where the biggest effect came in, was it was affecting my sleep, which, you know, there's a lot more going on with my sleep that I can fix, but that was kind of like the biggest one. And then that was affecting my performance in the sense that how can you keep up the intensity day to day, week to week, if you're not recovering properly.
Yeah. So, in short, you were sucking so bad at conditioning, you were like, I need anything I can
get.
So, you're like, I'm going to fake this nose injury.
And just losing to all the boys in conditioning. Yeah.
You were like, I just can't do the erg.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not fit enough.
I just can't do the skate. I can't do the assault bike. Keep cramping.
Oh, man. No keep running out. Now. Keep getting I out of breath. I can't wait till you're back to full and then see how you go. I'd be like, I thought you fucking got surgery for this, bro. Come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, going back to the like training intensity thing, I saw Creed 3 last night.
Yeah.
Good movie. Highly recommend it. But in every Creed movie, there's obviously, it's the same as the Rocky movies, there's like a training montage. Mm. And they go on crazy hard training and you just come out of that and you're like, do I train hard? Yeah. Do I train hard at all? It's like, do I need to buy a skipping rope?
Who was the dude in it? Was it the dude from Black Panther?
Yeah, so Michael B. Jordan. So he's Creed. He was Killmonger in the first Black Panther.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan Majors.
How do you know that?
Hey?
How do you know that? Like what their character names are?
Oh, because I know the Marvel stuff. Shit. Yeah, I'm nerd. Yeah. And then Jonathan Majors was the, I guess you could say, antagonist or villain in this Creed. What's another thing that he's in the Marvel stuff at the moment as well. I'm trying to think of, I don't think there's anything else that I can recall that you might know that he's been in, but they're both huge. They're both jacked.
You know,
absolutely.
Hollywood natural.
Yeah. There's one scene where, okay. So if for anyone that's listening, that's done a rope climb knows that rope climbs are fucking hard.
Yeah.
They are not easy.
Nah.
So there's a scene in Creed 3. Not going to ruin anything else, but
spoiler alert.
There's two ropes.
Yeah. Right.
And he's rope climbing one hand on each rope. Shit. No legs, just fucking launching himself up.
Really?
And then he essentially starts muscle upping on the top of these ropes. And I'm like, that's
sure it's real.
Yeah. That like, he's huge. Like,
yeah, I get it. But
these guys get paid.
You are,
to train.
The harder it is.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like they're probably, they'd probably be, even shredded as they are, probably close to, I'd say 100 kilos.
Shit.
Like probably what? They're probably 6 foot something.
Dark boy genetics, eh?
Yeah. And it's
are
a good.
Are they both dark?
Yeah. It's a really, really good movie as well.
Dark. What the fuck? Scared of saying the word black. So, why do you think most people don't train hard enough?
I think you said earlier, they don't know what training hard is like.
Mm.
And there's a sense that, like even before I joined Helix when I was going to a commercial gym, like you mentioned with the partners thing, when you're training on your own versus when you're training with a partner is a lot different.
Mm.
And a lot of people that are going to commercial gyms, some of them, a lot of them are, but there's a lot that just training on their own, they don't know how to push. I've seen firsthand a lot of PTs in the industry as well that don't necessarily push people. Oh, yeah.
That's why they look like shit.
Yeah. But they're also dealing with a really wide client base. Like they'll have someone who's...
Oh, I mean like the PT themselves.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. But they just don't know what intensity
is. Yeah. And then they hide behind like the whole like science thing. Like you shouldn't train hard because you're going to overtrain. And I don't train hard because I'm stressed anyway. And, you know, insert excuse about why they don't train.
Yeah. But then I'm kind of curious is that if there's... Because I feel like if you take someone that's new to the gym and to working out and you throw them into Helix, I mean, quite a few of them are stuck around and they've gotten great results because of that.
Mm.
But some throw themselves in such, like, so much the deep end that they suffer and they drown because the intensity is way too high and they put themselves off.
They're like, I'm so sore. I've had people, like, do one session a week and they just can't, like, get the recovery right.
Whereas if you, you know, you kind of follow the trajectory that I guess we and a lot of the other people at the gym have, you kind of, you know, you're a little bit athletic and then you've done a sport, but then the sport ends because you get a bit older. So you go to the commercial gym, train on your own, you might train with a partner, you get somewhat fit and strong, and then you join, you know, a functional fitness gym.
That's the typical trajectory. Yeah.
And but then you're accustomed to working out and stuff. And then when you find out that you don't actually train hard and intensity can be way more.
Yeah.
You feel more inclined to want to do it again.
Mm.
Because by that point, you're already enjoying the gym enough to be like, yeah, I like the pain. I like the suffering. I like the benefit that I'm getting from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with all those points. I remember my second year of being a PT, I was at like a 247 gym and I was talking to one of the other PTs and I was like, I don't know why I'm not putting on size. I'm like fucking 19 or something. You know, like literally like hormones through the roof, dude. Like a constant boner. and then I remember she was like, you just don't train hard. And I was like, oh. Yeah, ouch. Like an absolute stab to the stomach. Like it felt like a knife went in. And from that point, I was like, no, fuck this bitch. I am going to train hard and I'll show you. And I just hit some bodybuilding program, gained like 10 kilos or something in a year, like 12 months.
Yeah,
I was
right.
Gone ham. And then after that point, I was like, I'm going to train hard. And then it was just like a, you know, an inevitable increase from there. But, you know, in summary, I feel like people don't train hard because they don't know what hard training is. Hard actually is.
Yeah.
And to get exposed to it is hard to do as well.
Yeah. And, I mean, you mentioned that you started BJJ before, and I'm sure you'd attest to saying that intensity varies between different sports and different, different types of training as well. Like, what you'd perceive as intense in a functional fitness gym would be, you know, you're lifting heavy, you're lifting high volume, you're throwing yourself into conditioning, going balls to the wall. But then, you know, I've tried BJJ in the past as well.
It's not that hard.
It's, but it's not so intense. Yeah. It's still, like, intense.
Yeah, when you're rolling, it's intense. But the rest of it's not. Because, like, you're just a white belt mentality. You're freaking out. You know?
Just getting pinned. Yeah, adrenaline's just really high.
Yeah, last week, like, the end of the week, I was like, all right, cool. I'm not, like, super new now. So, kind of, it just got easier, you know? I could control myself. So, yeah, I only got tapped twice last week at the end, like, the end of the week, which is fucking huge for me, from, like, 10 times, you know?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks before. So, you know, I have a lot of, well, a lot of people that listen to this either work for someone or they work for themselves. Marcus and I probably, everyone always says that, oh, it must be nice to own a gym or must be nice to have all the freedom that you do. And it's funny because that's so far from the truth of actually like how it goes. Like my life ain't chill, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking crazy. And, you know, I guess we're at other ends of the spectrum. So I wanted to open up the debate with you, like pros and cons of having a job versus having a business.
Yeah.
So I'll start with you. So what are the pros of, you know, working for someone or working for the gov?
I would say that it's like, well, you have a wage.
Yeah.
It's consistent money. It's consistent work. Workloads can change, but you typically know where the ceiling is for your workload. Whereas perhaps your experience, perhaps more so when you're building the gym and building the business as opposed to the position it's in now, you know, it's not a consistent wage. It's not consistent money in your pocket. It's you don't know where the ceiling is for your workload because you're consistently trying to make it better, bigger, better.
Yeah, it never stops.
No, it doesn't. But and I would say that having a job working for someone else, obviously depending on what kind of industry you're in as well, but compared to owning your own business, I think there's a lot more security.
Yeah, for sure. Like involved. You can get loans.
You know? Yeah, you can get loans and you've got like, you know, paid leave and that sort of thing. Sick so pay, it's like, actually. Yeah, sick pay and you can take that and you can use that.
Mm.
Whereas like you own a business, you don't work, you don't get paid.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah, it depends on the business.
Yeah.
It depends on what the setup is. I guess like the pros of having a business is like you can design your own life, but to get to the level where you are designing your own life takes a long time. Like, like 5 years plus. Before that, you were a slave to it.
Yeah.
So like working, especially like we'll talk fitness, like coaching every class, answering every email, doing every social media post, like managing every team member. Like,
yeah.
It's fucking grim.
Like, but it's like, and then I guess that's where the choice is. It's like, what would you rather be a slave to? Would you rather be a slave to that with the prospect that in maybe 5+ years, you can be designing your life how you want it? Or like some people I know, do you want to be a slave to working for someone else? You know, for the position I'm in, working for government, we do important work, but it can sometimes be, compared to other jobs in other industries, quite chill.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of incentives to working for government because they want to attract people to come and work for government. I forgot where I was going with that, but it's kind of like, you know, yeah, no, I've completely lost.
I wouldn't say like being a slave to it is the right way to say
You know, no.
Like I'm a slave to my businesses as well. They're just not run by the government. But the government is a 30% stakeholder in my business.
Yeah.
Because they get paid tax, a fucking hectic tax.
Yeah. But it's kind of like you make the decision because, that's where I was
technically
going.
You make the decision, but
yeah,
they always have a say in it. They control your decisions.
To a large degree. Yeah.
We're all, it's basically the same thing, really.
I guess it just depends on what you want to do.
You get paid by the government, I get paid by my clients. And that's, yeah, I guess that's the difference.
Mm.
Yeah, what would be the cons, the other cons of working as a job?
Cons for a job is you're always answering to someone, I suppose.
Mm.
It can at times become monotonous and like the same old shit. Mm. And I'm not saying that you don't experience that when you have your own business, but you have less control over your working life in the tense sense of what you're doing and how much it varies. You know, if you own a business, depending on what industry that you're in, there's takes a lot more work, but you can expand, you can, you know, think of different avenues to pursue within that industry, or you can branch your business out to different industries. I don't know, I think, not that I've ever owned a business, but I would think that...
You can't just quit and give 4 weeks notice.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other one. That's huge. And then, like, yeah, what about, have you heard the concept of entrepreneurship? Intrapreneurship?
Yeah.
So you could have someone, essentially like the girls at the gym, where they work part-time for me, get a nice wage, and then they can do their own thing on the side.
Yeah.
Through the
yeah.
business, mm. or they can do their own thing through yeah. them. So they have all the perks of being a employee,
yeah.
but with all the perks of running your own thing as well. So there's two sides to it. So I think, like, entrepreneurship is becoming more popular. Steph has a bunch in her program as well. Girls work for her, and then they run their own business on the side. So they get best of both worlds, super, sick pay, holiday pay,
yeah.
all those types of things. And then they can have the freedom and creative expression of all the things you're talking about, which I assume is like what having a job lacks.
Mm.
So, yeah, the cons of having a business is like there's a lot of pressure, you know? Like
yeah.
You're constantly like feeding people, essentially, yeah. you know? Like you get paid last, always. So, like the staff, the clients, the tax man, literally everyone eats before you do.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy because you're running the thing.
Yeah, it's your thing.
It's your thing and you get paid last.
Yeah. And then contrary to how I've seen some people believe your life is it's like you're working a lot more.
Yeah, for sure.
You're working a lot more and it's like never ending.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Some people think I do nothing. I'm like...
Concept of a weekend, throw it out the window.
Yeah, I don't...
Like, I guess that's a pro to... Kind of a Monday to Friday job is you get weekends.
Yeah, every weekend.
You know?
I worked all weekend this weekend.
Yeah, like exactly.
Like fucking 8 hours a day, Saturday and Sunday. And it is 2 p.m. on Sunday. We're recording a podcast. For the business.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think that one was done to death. Not done to death, but everyone gets it. There are pros and cons to both. Just depends on which stage of life you're at.
Entrepreneurship definitely does sound very attractive to me.
Mm.
And I can't recall the name of the business, but I think it's a bank, and I saw on LinkedIn or something other, they were voted the number one best place to work in Australia or something like that. And they have a 4-day work week, so everyone gets a 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
And they encourage their employees to go seek further education, take, you know, work part-time and use part of their work time to further their education, or you know, create a business or run a business. And it's kind of like, I think the more we trend in that direction, probably the better. Yeah
I think it'd be definitely good to keep employees happier long term. And it's funny, you just raised a point. It's like what a lot of people think your lifestyle is. Why do you think that's a problem for some people if they think someone like me doesn't work much and obviously just reap all the rewards as an entrepreneur? Because there's a thing out there where like people get pissed about that stuff.
Oh, because it probably just comes down to them being miserable where they are.
Yeah,
they kind
it's
of like,
man, I get that like so often. And yeah, it's like, it's interesting to bring up on the podcast because people are like, they get pissed when they think other people are doing well and doing nothing for it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, it's like they're comparing themselves and they're going, oh, why don't I have that? Why don't I drive that? Why aren't I living there? And it's kind of like, well, if you put in 80 hours a week for 10 years with, you know, no break, you know what I mean? Yeah. Have you gone through periods of your working life where you've paid everyone else but yourself, you know? And it's like, probably, no, they haven't. I haven't, you know?
Because there's no overnight success thing. It's the same thing.
Like, no.
People, like, they see the nice car and the nice house and the beautiful wife and, those things, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's all he did was start a gym.
And it's another rabbit hole, but that's where I think social media is so toxic.
Yeah, it's gross.
Is because you're fed all this, like, influencer bullshit and, you know, all these nice cars and all these people, all these nice things, and it's kind of like I've fallen prey to it. You just think that there's some sort of silver bullet, some sort of overnight success, because there are cases of people that have overnight success, but they're the one in a billion, they're the one in 100 million. It's like, it just doesn't happen like that in the real world.
Yeah, 100%. And the other funny one is people, they message me and they're like, why don't you come hang out at the gym in the Arvo? Like, and I'm like, bro, I have worked there for 13 years.
Yeah.
It's my afternoon off, and you want me to come and sit there and watch you work out.
Yeah.
It's like, I also have to have a life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is like, people just don't get that either.
Yeah.
The joys. The joys of my inbox. All right, we're going to talk programs here. Marcus, how important do you think it is to follow a program for long-term results?
I think it's the foundation to results. I think without a program, you're just going into it blind, and you might get some results here and there, but long-term results, they'd come from, you know, we can go back to the basics of consistency and progressive overload and all those concepts that people have heard over and over, but following a program it's like the bottom line for getting long-term results.
Yeah. Agreed. It would surprise you to know that I didn't follow a program for like the first 5 years in fitness. I just go in and do chest day, back day, arm day, leg day, like
did the
that
same.
Kind of stuff.
Did
it was
the same.
Like literally didn't track anything.
No.
Just went in there, had a hard session, so to speak. And when I felt like I was done, I was done.
Well, I did a step further than that. I wrote stuff down, but I just didn't have the knowledge or didn't do anything with what I written down afterwards. It was kind of like, okay, I wrote it down. I'll add weight next week and go more, but like that works to a certain degree, but that's not a program. That's just, you're kind of doing a little bit more than going in blind, but
intuition.
Yeah. But you know, what do you increase? Do you increase reps? Do you increase weight? It's like, you know, I'm not going to do the maths in my head super quick, but it's like, if you're doing 3 sets of 8 at a certain weight, and 3 sets of 12 at a lighter weight, you times all the volume and the weight together, it could be the exact same number.
Mm.
So it's like you think you're going heavier or you think you're doing more, but you're not.
I think keeping one variable the same, like all the variables besides one, is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Increase reps or increase the weight.
Mm.
It's the easiest way to do it. But the point I was getting at here was, I know a lot of people, especially in fitness, they don't see any value in following a program.
Mm.
So they'll go in and, you know, at a gym, a functional fitness gym, it'll be a whiteboard workout. And
then
at a normal gym, it'll be like we just said. And I think like a key point that people are missing here is if you can't evaluate your results and you can't evaluate what you're doing, it's really hard to know if you're progressing.
Yeah.
One of the key reasons why we have quite a lot of successful people at the gym is like the testing weeks.
Because
they are like the ultimate mirror. Like no hiding.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We've both been through plenty of them where we know we've gone backwards. And it's not a great feeling.
Yeah. No, it's not.
But it's like a necessary evil, so to speak, for training. Because I guess the whole point for somewhere like we train is like it is a performance based place.
Yeah. Well, it's like I think it was a few weeks ago now, the Facebook post that you put in the Helix Gym group. It's kind of like, it might have been the last testing week or talking about the one that's coming up shortly. It's kind of like, look, testing week, we're going to have fun. We're going to lift heavy. We're all going to go for PBs. Everyone's going to get around each other. But it's going to show whether you've committed the 12 weeks prior.
Yeah.
It's going to show how consistent you've been, how much you've prioritized training, recovery, nutrition, all of it. And it's like, and if you're setting up your expectations to get crazy results in PB week, but you've not put in the work 12 weeks prior, following the program, you know, ensuring that foundation is there, then you're going to go bust.
It's funny because I feel like I've put in the work for this cycle, but I feel like I'm not going to like get any gains. And I'm like, what do I put it down to? It's because I program hopped like a little cunt.
Age?
I'm not going to make that excuse. It's because I was like jumping around programs.
Yeah.
I was like doing the Ollie one and then doing the...
Now. Well, that, and then let's also consider the fact that the, what'd you say, like 3 weeks or a month now, you've thrown in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well. So it's like, yeah, I guess that's more training volume, stuff like that, but that's different stimuli and it's, you know, it's going to perhaps, you know, affect how you lift in the gym or the energy you have available to recover and all that, all those kind of nuances.
I remember the last testing week, I put up 100 kilo military press and I was like, I don't think I could beat that.
Yeah.
Like ever.
Well, there's lifts that I've hit 18 months ago that I've not got anywhere near again.
Yeah.
And it's not that I won't ever beat them, but it's kind of like, I guess it is the biggest ego crusher in the sense that, holy shit, I need to go backwards to go forwards again.
Yeah.
You know, like I hit, I think it was 152 and a half front squat a year and a half ago. I've got nowhere fucking near that.
Fucking buried with that now. Yeah, I've been thinking about this heaps. I'm like, is it actually possible to go up in all lifts every time?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Yeah, I don't know.
But like training, let's say, if you're training hard 5 days a week, I would argue that's too much. Like going super hard, hitting the numbers.
Yeah.
I train 6 days a week, but like I'm not going specifically hard. I'll stretch.
Yeah.
But like, can you improve squat, deadlift, bench, front squat, military press, snatch, clean, jerk, you know, in the same program every 12 weeks? Like, can you up it? Like, literally on your body. I haven't seen anyone complete a 12-week program 6 days a week and haven't missed a day. Never.
Yeah.
Never, ever.
No, yeah. There was a miss a day. No.
So even our most consistent, like, members, like, they'll go on holiday and they'll take a weekend off and then they'll take 4 days off. So I've never seen anyone complete a program fully.
Yeah, no.
The point I'm trying to get at here is I almost feel like it's physically impossible to complete an entire cycle 100% and go up in every lift.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think training age comes into it in the sense that people that have a lower training age, they're fairly new to it. They can get away with missing a few sessions here and there.
Yeah.
And they'll get to testing week and they'll increase everything because they've not reached their, you know, potential yet.
Yeah.
Whereas from my experience where I'm at now, having trained for 7-8 years now and been at Helix for nearly 4, well, that's a long time.
That's why you're a co-host, bro.
It's
get the tat, you get on the
podcast. Yeah. That's how it goes, bro. Yeah, but you know, it's kind of like I need to consistently follow the program if I want to increase 3 out of 5 lifts.
Yeah,
and it's always like the degree by which you increase them changes as well. So it's kind of, I won't add 10 kilos to a bench press. I'll add 2.5.
Yeah, and that's a win.
Yeah, and that's a win, and that's a hard thing to wrap your head around is because not only
at
do you
start,
have
you're adding 20,
you're adding 20, you're adding 30. I mean, what?
I think had someone add 60 once to a deadlift, like 100 to 160 in 12 weeks.
Yeah,
it's fucked.
Yeah, and it's kind of, and you've got people around you as well that are adding 20, 30 kilos, and you know, and then you've got someone that's been more consistent than you, adding that kind of stuff, and then you kind of have to curb your expectations to say that, okay, you know, I am kind of reaching the maximum to what I could do with
potential,
with my body weight, with my lifestyle, whatever else, you know, a kilo increase is a win. It's your absolute maximum. Like, it's your 110% a kilo added onto that.
Remind me to come back to the lifestyle point, but what I was thinking was, I think you could do like an Ollie cycle and hold on to the strength stuff. So I think you could hold on to bench and military like relatively close to where it was. And then I think you could do like a powerlifting bodybuilding cycle and hold on to the Ollie.
Yeah.
And to that a degree, way you could like level it up, but it's going to take 6 months to level up both.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to hold on to it and then do that again.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a realistic way of doing it. It's very long term what we're talking about here. It's like, talk about gaining 2.5 kilos on a lift every 6 months. That's fucking like not a lot. Yeah.
No,
like
it's not.
In the scheme of things. The lifestyle thing, I also was like, I'm turning 32 in May. And I was like, I'm not young anymore. And I thought to myself, like, I run 3 businesses. I am fucking, like, stressed to the tits.
Yeah.
I work, like, 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
I sleep, like, 7 hours a night just.
Yeah.
I got a wife.
Yeah.
Dogs. I got, like, 14 staff members, like,
across
the board. I'm like, how realistic is me for me to be a fucking weapon in the gym and train 1 hour a day, 6 days a week, and then jits three times? Like, am I just doing good, like, enough?
Yeah.
Or, like, should I be expecting myself to just push more and you know, fucking deadlift 250 and squat 250? And, like, is that realistic for me and my lifestyle?
Yeah.
What do you think?
No. Just simply no.
Yeah. I was like, there's people doing half as much as me and they still can't even, like, get anywhere near that.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's kind of like, if you're, not saying you are, but then if you're sitting there, you know, you're taking tally of all those things and then you go, no, I should be hitting a 250 kilo deadlift. It's like, well, why?
Yeah.
Why do you think that? What for? You know, like, as much as we love the gym, we, you know, we exercise to feel better, do better, have a better life. It's not the only thing.
Yeah, that's also the transition I've been in my head.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm transitioning to, like, I'm training to be healthy.
Yeah.
Now, it's not...
Well, yeah, even...
It's not as much about the numbers.
Yeah, and even me at, you know, 26, because I definitely need to do more with my recovery and stuff like that. But even me now, I'm kind of thinking... It's probably down to some inconsistency at times. But when I'm pushing for those PBs and testing week all the time, trying to add 10, 20 kilos and stuff like that. It's like going for a one rep deadlift, even if I add 5, 10 kilos, yeah, I'm stoked on the day. It's a new PB, everything's sick. But then my back might be fucked for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Or, and then I might have tight hamstrings for a week. And so I'm having the realization now, it's like, okay, maybe I need to start thinking about training for longevity now. Like, not just training for the ego to have the bigger lifts. And then it's also the question of, who do you want the bigger lifts for? Is it for you versus you, or is it you because...
You're trying to impress guys.
Or is it,
is the reality.
Yeah, or is it because you want to say to, you know, the next bloke you see at a commercial gym or one of the dudes at, you know, your gym, oh, bro, yeah, I deadlift 250,
I'll bench
man.
That.
Yeah, I'll bench that.
I think in testing week, I'm just going to go in and just, like, have a go. Like, no expectations. Yeah. I'm not going to, like, absolutely max out and trash myself.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's it. Like, it just is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I've got no expectations for testing. Like, I probably won't even get anywhere near max for testing week. But I've missed, like, the last three for different reasons, different injuries and stuff like that. But then that's another reason why I've thought about the longevity thing and even just recovery and how I can do that better as opposed to just focusing on the training aspect is because I'll pick up an injury and it's not just an injury that, you know, I pulled a hamstring or be over in a few days.
I reckon you train too hard.
Probably.
Like the intensity thing we'll talk about before.
Yeah.
I think you just need to tone it down.
Yeah.
I just do 10 by 3 at like 80.
Yeah.
For squats and then just like ramp up from there.
Yeah. But then again, I guess you're always comparing, like, you know, the front squat that I mentioned earlier that was 18 months ago.
Yeah, but you can't anchor you off your highs.
No, but, you know, and that's a good lesson to learn, but I know I'm not alone in doing that. And I know it's quite a common thing. You anchor off your highs, you anchor off your absolute one rep max, the top that you've ever hit. But then coming back to the lifestyle thing is lifestyles change. Your life changes.
Mm.
Things happen. Things change. You get a different job. You get a different partner. You start getting dogs into the picture or children or, you know, something goes on with an unwell family member and just, or, you know, all the, there's thousands of different factors that are impacting it. But it's like, you think about the time, I think about the time when I hit that front squat and the person I was then.
It's different.
It's different. It was literally just all training, nothing else. And it's like, you can do that for a certain period of time, but then
you
got a life. It's not sustainable because you do all training, you're going to neglect relationships. Neglect relationships, something else happens.
Yeah. It's hard to keep all the balls in the air
at
the same time. Relationship, family, making money.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, and it's, and that's when it, you know, I guess comes down, it's cliche, but you know, you just got to do your best. That's it.
Yeah, it's cliche as fuck.
Yeah, it's very cliche,
take my hat off to people that have kids.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I don't have kids. I couldn't even imagine how hard it is.
That was something that fucked with me for a long time, and it still does when I'm around the gym, is we've got at Helix so many awesome mums and dads that...
They get it done.
They get it done, and they go hard, and they're lifting heavy for them and they're hitting PBs and I'm kind of like, I'm there sometimes whinging about a fucking set or a rep or, you know, being tired or being exhausted. Yeah. But the comparison I make is like, man, they've got kids, you know, they've got kids or they're running their own business or they're doing this and that. And I know that they're different people and they're living different lives, but it's kind of like, who am I to say I'm fucking tired? Who, like, they're fucking exhausted. They've got a newborn baby. They've been up all night and they're still showing up.
Mm.
What the fuck is my excuse? That's like, that's where I come from.
Yeah.
It's like, be better. But it's like, you know, so that, yeah, it's funny you bring that up because I've thought about that a lot, you know, the whole parent thing. And
I take my hat off. I can't relate because I don't have kids, but I know it would be way harder than now. Steph and I, we've been talking about like when we're going to have kids and like, you know, a couple of years away still, but we were like, we can't get up and go to the gym together.
Yeah.
Like that's
someone else, like, yeah, unless you bring the kid.
We've got to take turns.
Unless you bring the kid to the gym, yeah, but then,
but like that kills the vibe, you know.
Yeah,
no one wants a kid in there.
And the, but then the decibels, the decibels that the drum and bass is blasting at.
Yeah, so it's not good for the kid. And I thought, like, fuck, everything changes. Like all of a sudden, my training volume halves, or I'm gonna have to go opposite days and afternoons and like set up my lifestyle a little
bit
differently. Like everything changes from there. So I remember, like, there was like Stewie and Alicia. They're like, "Yeah, we train 3 times a week each," and I was like, "Pussies" in my head. And now, and now I'm like, "Fuck, they've got a kid, man! Like, they have to, like, someone's got to look after the kid."
Yeah, I know. And they, you know, and that becomes your, you know, well, typically for me, single male, whatever else. Like, if I want to prioritize gym and I want that to be my number one priority, easy done. You know. But you and Steph with businesses and with your dogs and that sort of thing is you're accountable for other people.
Mm.
So something else has to take priority over the gym.
100%.
And, you know, all the parents at the gym and at Helix with kids. Like, your kids aren't going to be any lower than number one on your priority list.
No, no way. You can't put them in a cage.
No.
Although, I wish. Yeah. That would be pretty good. I don't even put my dogs in a cage, other than kids. I feel like I'm going to love my dogs more than my kids.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I
love my dogs. Love.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll love your kids as well.
One day. Speaking of kids and testosterone, I've seen a lot of propaganda around this that, like, men should have lower testosterone because it's a danger to society having manly men. And there's this big push. I feel like there's a big push against men at the moment. Like, There's a big push against, you know, there was International Women's Day recently, and from what I hear, it turned into International Bash Men Day. Like, they just got on the stage and they were just beating on dudes, and basically saying all dudes are dicks and, you know, whatnot. And then, like, from what I'm seeing on Twitter, that's where I'm getting my information from, there's, like, a lot of, like, dudes should have low testosterone because they're more placid, and it's going to be better for the environment, and we don't want aggressive dudes out there, and we want more, like, feminine men, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then my question is to you is, like, would low testosterone be a problem in society if every dude had low testosterone?
Yes. Yeah. And I think it is a problem.
100%.
I think it's already happening.
Yeah.
Like, I can't recall the podcast I was listening to. It was probably Joe Rogan or Diary of a CEO. Yeah, it could have even been yours, but it was like they were comparing previous generations, particularly generations that, you know, around during the world wars and stuff like that. And on average, the testosterone levels are just like plummeting.
Yeah, it's half.
And it's, yeah, half in it's ridiculous. 80 years or something. But, and it, I think a lot of those arguments that, one of them that made me chuckle was like, oh, I'll be more environmentally friendly with low testosterone. Men.
Testosterone, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I just said. But like, what? Sorry, what? Like, that makes no sense to me. But it's like,
there'd be less racism.
Yeah.
But low Black Lives Matter, bro. Black Lives Matter.
But like, low testosterone is like, that is so detrimental to men's health.
Men. Yeah.
And I've been meaning to get mine tested for a while. I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. I'm sure mine's probably normal, but it's like,
yeah, but normal.
Yeah, what's normal? Low compared to and what should it be at? What's optimal? Yeah. You know, because you go get a blood test and they're saying, oh yeah, everything's normal. It's like, yeah, but what's optimal? Mm. You're giving me normal and comparing it to the average. It's like the average doesn't train. The average isn't as active as I am. You know, what is optimal sort of thing. But like low testosterone, it's a tough cycle. I've worried about mine because the number one detrimental thing to testosterone levels in men is lack of sleep.
Stress.
And stress.
Yeah.
And I can be prone to stress, and I know that I get less sleep than I probably should. And then it's kind of like, okay, well, then how's that affecting my testosterone? But then that affects everything. It affects your emotional regulation, how you behave. It affects how you train. It affects your
recovery, strength,
your diet, your hunger cues, everything. Like, it literally affects everything. It is it is like the one biggest telltale sign for men's health. And it's like, I spoke to a couple of the girls at the gym, you know, when they, you know, they have their cycles and they train on their cycles and stuff like that. And I said, as super tough as that is, you know, I've got a friend who she coaches a lot of other PTs and a lot of clients around the menstrual cycle and stuff like that. And she says, it's your monthly report card for your health. It's like we don't have a report card. We don't even know if our
in the morning.
Yeah. Like, that's it. And it's like, but I think, yeah, low testosterone, like, I want to get mine checked just to see where it's at. And I think it's probably a wise thing for a lot of men or all men to get it regularly checked. Even if it is normal. If it's normal, cool, go about your day. If it's normal but not optimal and you want it optimal, do what you need to do. But if you go and you find out it's low, it could explain a lot.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, well, then if I get that back up to where it should be, how much better can my life be?
Huge.
But then, you know, the other point you made as well about low testosterone, you know, we want more low testosterone men and placid men, and it, you know, subdues them and that sort of thing. I'm like, my argument is, if a healthy testosterone makes for better emotional regulation, and makes for better men actually being what a man should be. You know, it doesn't, like, high testosterone doesn't just automatically mean you're a fucking turbo.
Yeah. I think it's one thing that's wrong with society at the moment is there's too much, like, female emotion out there, especially coming from, like, female dudes. Like, I think there has to be, in the universe, there has to be a balance of testosterone and estrogen and masculine energy and feminine energy. I feel like if we get too much feminine energy, it's not going to be a good thing for society as a whole. And I think there needs to be more stronger men out there that can lift the standard and not combat, but, like, equal out all this.
Yeah, but imagine you pitted men of today's day and age with, like, even World War II era men, or, yeah, if you go, if you want to
take him in a fight, but if you want to go toughness,
if you want to go back like ancient Rome or something, you know what I mean? Like,
we get fucked up,
get destroyed.
Yeah, I'm worried at where this is going. Dude's just getting more feminine.
But I was surprised to hear that's like a thing that's going on. Like, they want low testosterone men.
Yeah, they're actively advertising for it and vilifying against guys with high testosterone at the moment on Twitter. Bill Gates has talked about it a couple of times.
Yeah,
on heaps of different things.
Fuck, that's crazy.
I learned about lab testing the other day. So, did you know lab testing? You know the ranges you got on lab tests?
Yeah,
they're made up by the lab by doing an average of the staff that work for the lab.
The staff.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I thought it would just be like an average of the people that they test.
No, and it's different between every place.
Fuck.
Dude, I heard that the other day. I was tripping. So, like, the ranges you see on, like, thyroids and testosterone and estrogen and stress hormones and all those things, they're just averages of what they made up, or the averages of the staff when they first created the clinic.
If that's true everywhere, that's fucking crazy. Even if that's true,
the doctors are treating you for it.
Fuck.
Of, like, this made-up range.
Even if that's only true in some places and not others, the places that that's true in, that's fucked.
Yeah.
That is really fucked.
Bro, the medical system is fucked.
Like, what if, you know, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is a hypothetical of everyone that works in the lab and tests in the lab, sitting down all day, they're sedentary, they're not active, and they're forming the baselines, or the ranges for what's healthy and what's not.
Bad tests compared to those dudes. Because dudes are sitting in a chair all day. So, let's play out a scenario in our heads about testosterone. So, imagine we got, let's say, 140-year-old dudes with low testosterone.
Yeah.
And you just start jabbing them, just TRT, just straight testosterone replacement therapy.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of, like, positive effect do you think that would have on the local society?
I think it have lots of positive effects. They have more energy. They'll have more energy to show up for themselves. They'll have more energy to show up for their families, people around them. They'll sleep better, recover better. You know, the better sleep you get, the less of a cunt you are. Mm. You'd probably be more... when you feel better and when you feel good, you're more going to choose healthier options than you are going to choose not so healthy options.
Yeah.
Like when you feel shit, you've not had a lot of sleep, oh, just get the fucking Maccas, it's easy. If you've had a good sleep, you're feeling good about yourself, you've gone and done some training, oh, I'm going to choose the healthier option. And when you take 100 people, you inject them with TRT, and you all of a sudden get a healthier group of 100 people,
dudes, yeah.
The flow-on effects of that, it's like a ripple effect, massive. I think you're going to, you know, it will affect... If they're all affecting 10 people in their circle,
mm.
positively, from having actually healthy levels of testosterone,
mm.
then you've injected 100 people, but you've affected upwards of 1,000 positively.
Yeah, I met a dude came to the gym for a consult, and he was on TRT. Probably like 12 months ago.
Yeah.
Let's call him Jim. That's not his real name, but I won't call him his real name. J-I-M, not G-Y-M. Jim. I sometimes felt like that, like the actual Jim.
So hey, Jim.
He came in and he was just like, yeah, I'm on TRT, like doctor prescription. And I was like, I was so interested. I was like, how does it work? Like, what happens? Like, what are the effects? And he said he has to inject every 10 days. And he gets his wife to do it because he hates needles. And he was like, he reckons it was like a 50% energy boost, like from day to day. Like one day, the next day, he reckons he felt like 50% better. Like he was like a new person.
Yeah, wow.
And he's like, recovery got better, like more energy throughout the days. Like he was, like libido was like 10x'd. Sleep was better, like skin was better, nails, like all his health
volumes
went up. And this was like literally like night and day for him. Like from the next day to the next. But I guess the con of it, which is like you have to fucking hit the needle for ever after that.
Yeah.
There's no like off.
Yeah. So
10 days for ever. That's a long time.
Not that I can recite them off the top of my head, but there's probably some more natural ways to... I mean, that's the quick and fast option.
Yeah.
But I guess if we're pointing figures, or we're being alarmed by the medical industry in terms of the lab averages and stuff like that, it's like, do you want the medical industry giving you the TRT to make it better? or
at least you know it's a good shit.
Yeah. Or do you kind of do some research on the more holistic approaches, you know? Like, I'm not saying it's the answer, and it's pretty contentious to bring this up, but like Liver King, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just eating more meat, more organs. Bro,
that dude was on like...
Yeah, but he was on so much
like
shit.
Like 10 steroids. Like, not just test.
Yeah.
Like, test was like the cute, like...
I know he's Andre. I know he's a lot older, but I don't know. I think with
he's like 50 something.
Yeah, yeah. I think with what he's eating and his diet, it, you know, I mean, he's supposedly taking himself off everything.
He doesn't look that different.
No, but because he's already got the benefits from being on all the stuff, right? Mm. But, you know, I think even if he was never on it, if you took his testosterone levels and then took testosterone from, say, me.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone who trains.
Yeah, some little pause.
Cheers. But it would probably be a lot higher, right?
Yeah.
Because of the lifestyle choices that he's making.
Yeah, he's sunning his balls and
eating a lot more meat, eating organs balls, and stuff. Like, I had a conversation the other week. I think it might have been with my parents or something like that. But I was saying it's like, it was a lot more common in previous generations to have meals with organs in them. Like liver and bacon and chicken heart and that sort of thing. And it's like, that's probably one thing that's kind of drifted out of society. That's probably not that, you know I should do it and I don't do it as often as I do, but something that should probably come back is eating, you know, not just consuming red meat and good meat and organic meat, but like organs as well.
Fuck that though. Have you tasted them things?
Which ones? Terrible. Just depends.
Liver.
I like liver.
Ugh.
Liver and bacon's good when it's fried up. It's good.
Yeah.
Oil in a pan. Oil up.
Yeah. Fried oil. Up. Oil. Come on, that can't be great for you. I just looked up his Instagram. He's still huge.
Yeah.
He doesn't look any different.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I thought he looked a bit skinnier, but I could be way wrong. Where's Liver King?
Dude is fucking huge.
1.8 million. I wonder how many followers he lost.
Well, his following hasn't changed. It's been 1.8 since the whole scandal dropped.
Yeah, he's Still fucking massive.
Yeah, dude, it's a unit.
CEO of Ancestral Tenants.
So I think test, like low test, is a problem. Mm. I know a lot of dudes that do suffer from it, and it seems like with our modern lifestyle, there's not much that we can do about it. Well, we yeah. definitely can improve it, but I think it's like the lifestyle as a whole of guys that we know in our circles, it's affecting this, from stress to sleep to social media to financial issues to like literally all the shit. What do you think?
No, I agree. I agree. And it's kind of, it's something that I want to look into more for myself, but I probably encourage more blokes, you know, around us and in our circles and beyond, and whoever listening to, you know, seriously consider as well. There's probably dudes in our circles and dudes listening that their testosterone is not a problem.
You can't say testosterone.
Yeah, like I'm tired today.
Tostosterone.
Yeah, but they're probably fine and they don't have to worry about it.
They're probably tostosing too much.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing. Tostosteroning. It's like the new word for wanking.
Oh, man. Testosting.
All right, guys. Thanks for jumping on this episode. If you loved it, leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah,
don't be that person that fucking listens to us, hides, doesn't message me, doesn't let me know you're listening. There are so many people that listen to this podcast and I have no fucking idea who they are.
Yeah, or they go, they listen to it and they go, oh, that's great. And then it's like, okay, we'll fucking share it then.
Yeah, share it and tell me.
God.
Because I want to know. Our these episodes and mostly uneducated opinions get so many listens and I just want to know who you are. So if you're there, talk to me.
Yes.
Hello. Thanks for coming on, Marcus. I appreciate it.
All good, man. Thanks for having me.